Welcome back to Zevo Sisters, where we demystify and diversify the field of anesthesiology, all within the duration of an anesthesia break. And this week, I'm titling this episode, A Sobering View of Anesthesiology. See, I came from the AMET conference a few weeks ago. It was amazing. Loved the energy, all the excitement, and the brilliance from all these beautiful Black medical students. And I was there to give a talk on how to match in anesthesiology. And there's so much buzz and energy and excitement over anesthesiology. And I have to temper that with a bit of a hard dose of reality. Now, first, for those of you who are like, hey, I want to hear that talk about tips for matching in anesthesiology. What I discussed in that talk, I go into greater detail in the podcast. So I've already done dedicated podcast episodes to how to write your personal statement, how to interview, the rake order list thing. The talk was sort of a distilled version of what I already go through in the podcast. I have to meet all the energy and buzz around anesthesiology with a dose of reality, a dose of the dark side, if you will. You have to know what you're getting into. Let's discuss some of the startling statistics. Number one, the burnout rate for anesthesiologists is the highest of all specialties, nearing 40%. Now, why is that? Well, there's a few reasons. One being the lack of support, the social isolation. I've said many a times that anesthesiology is a lone ranger sport. And even when you have friends in your department, you're not going to see them regularly. I mean, due to call schedules, covering different sites, plus or minus admin day. I mean, you'd be lucky if you see them maybe a couple times a week. And then within the perioperative team, like circulators and surgeons and all of that, those rotate pretty frequently. So unless you only do cardiac, you're going to be working with different teams all the time as well. So it could be hard to establish a sense of community. Second reason for the high burnout, staff shortages. And when there's staff shortages, guess who picks up the slack? Anesthesiologists are some of the most agreeable people you will ever meet. They'll do anything to move the day along. And in the face of staff shortages, you know, the administration, they take full advantage of this. Anesthesiologists would transport their own patients back to their room after the case, fully recover their own patients in the OR because there's no PACU nurses. They turn over their own rooms because they don't have access to an anesthesia tech and still have to stay late to finish up the cases. It burns because you're doing the work of three other people. And then not only are you doing the work of three other people, including your own responsibilities, but it's thankless because ultimately people are still complaining that the day is running late, the cases didn't start on time. There's so many inefficiencies in the OR day that cases run over all the time. And I have to say, I've never been in a work environment where we've been fully staffed. And even when new people were hired, the more senior staff were not being retained. So it was like putting up water in a bucket full of holes. So the hours were long. And honestly, this is where the quality of your workplace really makes a difference. I remember there was this one place I worked at. The board runner ordered lunch for everyone. There was a menu that was circulated during morning break. The board runner paid for everyone's meal and made sure that you had your lunch break when the food came. And I cannot tell you how sweet this gesture was. It made me feel like I was a part of a large family. It made me feel cared for. And I honestly wish this was something that more places employ, because that one small gesture makes you feel so appreciated. And that's a big piece that's missing in our field, is just that recognition and appreciation. And then the lack of autonomy. So you don't choose like the rooms you go into, the hours you work. You don't get to choose when you get to take vacation. And often, even when you feel a case should be canceled, there's pressure to quote unquote, just do the case, which is a real insult to our intelligence because we are physicians, not technicians. And if this is an elective case and the patient's not optimized, there's no reason to cause undue harm. Now, the individual who told me to quote unquote, just do the case, that same person also had a series of patients presented during morbidity and mortality conference. And for real, like 80% of those misadventures could have been prevented if they just canceled the case. Now, when you don't have autonomy and you feel powerless, this precipitates burnout. Burnout can lead to a lot of mental health issues, which leads to my next statistic. 2, anesthesiologists are twice as likely to die by suicide compared to other physicians. Now, physicians as a whole already have a higher suicide rate than the general population. So to say that anesthesiologists are 2 times likely amongst physicians really highlights the elevated risk of suicide that anesthesiologists are facing. And the risk factors are substance abuse and mood disorders. Now, if you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm a medical student or a resident, I'm early in my career, I don't have to worry about these things. Well, I hate to break it to you, but medical students and residents are more likely to experience depression. And 23% of anesthesiology residents have had suicidal ideation. Now, we do have access to fatal medications, opioids, muscle relaxants. There's so many wellness programs and workshops focused on the individual anesthesiologist. This problem is so widespread. We can't just look at one person and focus on individual effort. We need to change the environments in which we work, which leads to my third point. Now, this was a survey by the AAMC stating that anesthesiology is the number one specialty for gender-based harassment in the last 12 months. Nearly 53% of women and 21% of men. And bullying happens more often than I'd like to admit. Now, what does it look like? Bullying looks like belittling statements, such as, I mean, we always joke about blaming anesthesia, but it could go too far. Our names aren't even used when we are in the workplace. We're called anesthesia. So it is incredibly dehumanizing to be called a medical intervention and not our names, which is why many organizations have personalized scrub caps with their name on it to encourage people to call them by their name. Bullying looks like profanity and disrespect. I have had friends tell me that they were cussed out by surgeons. And if this has happened to you, I just want you to know that it's not your fault. It's nothing that you did. This is unfortunately too often an occurrence. The culture of medicine is incredibly hierarchical, and it's hierarchical based on who's bringing the most money into the hospital, which surgical specialties are who brings in the most money. So they're able to get away with a lot, and people don't want to report it for the fear of retaliation. A story that highlights how important your work environment is I remember when I was in training and there was a cardiovascular surgeon who disagreed with the way his patient was being managed by the ICU attending, which at that time was a cardiovascular anesthesiologist. He whispered, "bitch," under his breath. And what followed was one of the biggest showings of solidarity in a department I've ever heard of. None of the anesthesiologists would work with him and he was forced to leave and practice elsewhere. Now, contrast this with another place I worked, where anesthesiologists would join the surgeon in talking poorly about another anesthesiologist. Night and day difference. That's what bullying looks like. And work culture has a huge impact on that. Other bullying is being condescending, a disruptive behavior like surgeon throwing instruments. Also, if the surgical team refuses to return phone calls or pages or messages regarding their patient care, I mean, this is all ways of stopping you from being able to fully perform your job. And it just negatively colors, you know, all the interactions. And then finally, a dark piece about anesthesiology is that we really are not the most diverse by any means. White males are overrepresented at all faculty ranks in anesthesiology. Diversity decreases as faculty rank increases. Now, why is this relevant to you? Because women and underrepresented in medicine face more harassment, intimidation, and discrimination than white peers, and are less likely to receive mentorship and sponsorship, which is crucial for being able to advance in academic anesthesiology. Now, I wasn't able to find the percent of Black anesthesiologists who go private practice versus locum versus academics, but I will say, at least anecdotally, many of my friends have gone locums. And since I have left academics, I've done per diem work and I understand and see the value in it because it has given me the most autonomy I have ever had in my professional career. I'm able to negotiate my pay. I have autonomy over my time. I know when I'm leaving, autonomy over cases I cover. I can take vacation when I want. Having autonomy is really one of the biggest antidotes to burnout. We've worked way too long and hard to be told constantly what to do and when to do it. So I honestly support doing locums all the way, especially in light of the workplace shortages that we have, because the rates are beautiful. You know, when it came to the staff shortages, I was really on the worst end of it as a full-time employee, absorbing the roles of like three different positions. But now, as locums, I'm on the better end because I'm able to get paid more and focus on just what an anesthesiologist should do, which is providing the high-quality perioperative care. All right. So let's review those dark sides of anesthesiology again. One, burnout rate is the highest of all specialties. Two, suicide rate is the highest of all specialties. Three, anesthesiology is the highest in gender-based harassment. And finally, the field of anesthesiology has a large gender and racial disparity in the workforce. Okay, so with all that being said, I mean, anesthesiology is a rich field. It has so much breadth and depth. There's reasons to be excited for it, and there's just so much potential and promise within this exciting, diverse field, diverse in what you do in the field. But I would be remiss if I didn't expose for you both sides of that pendulum. I hope you enjoyed this episode of SIVO Sisters. If you love this episode as much as I did, head on over and rate and subscribe so you don't miss out. New episodes drop every week on a Monday because we all can use a little something something to get us through the week. Am I right? I'd love to hear more from you on the topics that you want to hear. So let me know in the comments. This is Dr. Peterson signing off. See you next time.